I have to write something on the board to explain you the sense of the application I will speak to you about. The application example I will consider is a most common situation: the compression of an image file. I will consider, for simplicity, a black and white image. You know, or we know, that the most frequent tool to compress an image file, is the so-called JPEG. Which is used also for SAM file. We will use another technique, another idea, which is similar, and is more involved with the properties of matrices. We will study in next weeks. The idea is this is another possibility, they use the so-called SVD decomposition. I have to say that also in JPEG algorithm deals with the transformation of matrices. So also for this method, one see that it's very important to use to exploit the properties that have matrices properties that are studied generally in numerical linear algebra. But this idea is more simple. What is the SVD decomposition? We will see that any matrix A, why we consider matrix? We know that this file, the file which represents the image, contains the values of grade level pixel which form the image. So the image is represented by n matrix A, whose entries A sub ij are the values of grain level of the image. Shortly, the idea is this: any matrix A is can be expressed as the product of three particular D and V. In detail, we will have matrix B, which we'll use it in a more complicated way, but for simplicity, we call three matrices in this way, where the matrix U is M by M, the matrix D is N by N as size, and the third matrix V as size N by N. We have supposed that N is greater than N. The first matrix is square, the second is rectangular, the third matrix is square as well, of different sizes. The two matrices, U and V, are unitary matrices. Which are matrices which behave very well from the point of view of numerical computations. In particular, their entries we consider matrix U sub ij. Their entries, this hold also for V, are in absolute value less than 1. So these two matrices, the first and the third, give a contribute that cannot be very large. The relevant part of contribute to the representation of the image, that is to A, is given by the intermediate matrix D, which is rectangular, not only, but diagonal. So most of the entries of B are zero. The diagonal entries of D are called singular. Singular values of A. Well, the answer, the question is how I can use this representation, this decomposition, to perform a compression. Well, the idea is to consider only the larger entries of D. If we consider all the entries of D, that is the exact decomposition, we will need how many storage locations? I write it again, U, V, V, M squared for U. We have said M greater than N, therefore N for D, and N squared for V. So we have a total amount of M squared N plus N squared. While the matrix A, in the usual form of in which I can store it, needs only n by n storage locations. So this amount looks very larger than this. But I can reduce, so I will compress, I can reduce this amount if I consider only the larger singular values which are contained in D. If we cut the last singular values, we have a truncated SVD representation truncated
SVD representation,
which look like I can show in this way with this formula. We have U, P, and B. We cut the matrix D from the k plus 1 position to the last. If we say D to put 0 in this position, so the contribution to the representation is given, the truncated representation is given only by the first k rows of U, the first k singular values, and the first k columns of V. The total amount so is reduced to n by k U plus k for V plus this was n. So m by k for U truncated, V truncated, plus n by k for V truncated. With a careful choice of k, this amount can be made less than the usual cost in terms of storage of A. Now I will show you the effects of this truncated representation on the picture, on the image of a monkey, mandrill. Depending on the values of k that have been chosen. The first on the left is the original image. This is an image represented by a matrix of that size, 480 by 500. The next four pictures show you the effects of truncating the SVD to 200, then 100, only 10, and only one singular values. If one does a simple control of the kind I'm showing you at the end of present reasoning, one sees that the balancing value of Q is about 200. If we choose K less than 200, we have some some advantage in, and therefore some compression in the storage of the file which represents the image. And it is evident that for this choice there is no relevant less of resolution. It is interesting to observe that the larger singular values give more important information on
on the image itself.
Even if we choose one, only one singular value, we have some kind of idea of the structure of the image. I must say that this naturally is not the best way to compress an image. The JPEG algorithm works in a different way, but also in this case, in that case, for that algorithm, metrics, a local metrics of pixels of size 8 by 8 is transformed by a linear transformation in a vector, and of this vector is retained an approximation which needs less storage room with respect to the origin. Okay? We will study the SVB decomposition in detail in the second part of the course, because it's a powerful tool to solve many important problems. Okay.
The sequence of images.
Those are the same pictures in sequence.
Okay, so, let's have a look at another application. This comes from computer science, and it is inside the framework of machine learning. It is an example of supervised classification. Let's say you have two sets of points, the xi points and the yj points. Okay? They are, each of them is a vector in Rn. Okay? Let's call the xi the positive data and the yj the negative data. They can be anything which you want to discriminate. Okay? You are given a new point, and you would like to know if it's more likely to belong to the first set, the set of xi's, or to the second set, the set of yj's. Examples of application. Imagine that each vector in Rn is a number of of data from a patient, okay? From a person who is likely to have some particular illness. Okay? And the two sets are data you know, and you also know if the person in the end happened to have that illness or not. Okay? So for instance, the xi are the people who did not get ill. And the YJ people, and the YJ are data of people who got ill. So you have a new patient, you have a new person, you take all the data, and you would like to know if he's likely to get ill or not. Okay. You can imagine any situation in many situations in machine learning in which you have to discriminate between two possibility according to some features. Okay. So mathematically, you are just given two sets of data, not necessarily the same number of data, n and m can be different, and you would like to discriminate. One way to do it is to find a function, okay, which gives a value to each set, to each vector, so to each set of data, to each patient or item, let's call it item, okay, to each item. if the function, and you would like to find a function who is positive for all the xi data and negative for all the yj data, for instance. Okay? So, if you know the function, you have a new vector, new data, you compute the value. If it's positive, you would predict that it belongs to the first set. If it's negative, you predict it belongs to the second set. Okay? Clearly, you cannot take any function. Okay, you have to restrict to a search space of functions, okay? Function with certain properties, okay? Otherwise, for instance, a function with that property for that data always exists. You build it that way. One first approach to this is to try to use linear functions, okay? So here you have a vector of coefficients. This is a1 x1 plus a2 x2 plus an xn minus a constant value. Okay, this is an affine function. And you would like to find vector a and number b, which for which the points xi and yj satisfy this condition. Okay, so you're looking for an a and a b for which these relationships hold. Okay. Let's think about R2, so n equal 2. Okay. Oh, I noticed, okay, sorry, that x, that n in the number of the xi items is not necessarily that n of Rn, I'm sorry. Okay, so I use the n both for the number of items in the first set and n for the dimension of the space. I'm sorry, that shouldn't be n, okay, any other number. So you're looking to find a vector in Rn and a and a number b which provide you this property. Okay, so I was saying think n equal 2. Well, if n equal 2, so the dimension of the space is 2, these are given half spaces. Okay? So if you are in R, if you are in R2, x I1 x1 plus a2 x2 equal b describes a line. Okay? And so here you are saying that the xi's must be in one half space, this, which you can find with that line, and the yj's must be in the other half space. Okay, so you have your data. You would like to find a line such that the xi's are on one side and the yj's are on the other side. Okay, let's say these features. Okay, let's say that the crosses are xi's and squares are yj's. Okay. You wish to look for a line which separates the two sets, okay? Well, you can do it. You can try to do it. But take into account that you want to predict data that you don't have, okay? So this line is not equivalent to this or to this other line, okay? Because this line somehow is closer to the data than this other one, okay? So, a small mistake sends your data on the other side. So, one idea is to choose, if it exists, a line which separates the two set of points, but which gives you the largest margin here. So one idea is the following. Try to maximize what is called the classification margin. It is this distance. Okay? So you simply add in your requirement, in your requirements here, you simply add a term t. Okay? If you add a non-negative t, this translates in this way, and this translate in this way. Okay? For t equal almost zero, let's say you recover the situation you had before, but you would like to have the largest of this. Okay? So you want a line, and then you want this margin to be a line which separates the two sets, and among all the lines which separate the two sets, the ones that gives you the largest margin. Okay? It's essentially a measure of this distance. So you come up with an optimization problem in which your variables are, let's back here, the vector A, so n variables, the number B, so an additional variable, and the margin, which is another number, so other two variables, n plus two variables, and you want to find the maximum value for T in such a way that the two sets are separated, and in this way with the widest margin. You also have to add another requirement, since if you multiply the coefficient of a line or of an hyperplane in a RAM for any number you get the same hyperplane, the same line. Okay, x1 plus x2 equal 1 is the same thing as 2x1 plus 2x2 equal 2. Okay, so and the margin depends also on the scale you've chosen. So if we fix the norm of the vector A, and we don't allow to multiply by any value, you keep it contained. So that is the reason for the additional value on A. Okay, and this is an optimization problem in which you have n plus two variables. The objective function actually takes just the value of one of the variables, the margin, so it's very particular, and it is a linear function. You have two sets of constraints which must be satisfied. The first n and the second m constraints, which say that you can separate the two sets. And then the last constraint, which tells you we keep the coefficients bounded. We don't want larger coefficients. We know that they are all the same if you multiply by the same number all the equalities and inequalities. So a, b, and t are the variables. You want to maximize the function of these variables. Actually, it is the one of these variables too. Among all variables A, B, and T, which satisfy all those constraints. Okay? This gives you exactly this. Gives you the line which separates the two sets with the largest value, if it exists. Okay? If it does not exist, you have the information from the problem too, because if you take, let's say, t positive, this and t increases, you are moving this line in this direction. Okay? If you take it negative, you take it in this other direction. So, since the set of numbers are finite, at some point you can make this go down and this go up in such a way that the inequality are always satisfied. But if it's negative, the best value is negative, it means that you cannot separate the two sets. Suppose you have a cross here, you cannot separate the two sets. So first information is, if the best value, the maximum value is negative, you cannot discriminate the two sets with a line. Okay? If it's positive, you can, and the maximum value is given by the optimization problem you have. Okay, since we are a bit late, I skip this. Actually, with a simple transformation, you can write that problem in another form, okay, in which some numbers are fixed and t disappears, okay? But let's keep it so that I can give
Professor Bevilacqua the chance to talk a bit more about the Google Analytics.
The next example concerns with a powerful tool we are used to deal with every day. That is the page rank algorithm for the search engine used by Google. As we will see, the problem, the model, is actually a numerical linear algebra model. That is, at last, one is obliged to solve a linear system and an eigenvalue problem. I point out that even in the previous example, the SVD, the composition, the composition itself is very hard to compute, and the computation addresses to an eigenvalue, a particular eigenvalue problem. So in most, in all, I can say, of this application, at last one is obliged to solve a linear system or to compute the eigenvalues of some matrix. Well, okay. The problem is the classification of all the pages in the web according to some relevance measure. How this measure is chosen? How can the relevance of a web page be defined? A possible choice is that the relevance of a page depends on the relevance of the pages pointing to the page itself. So, we number all the pages in the web from 1 up to n and consider the well-known adjacency matrix H, which is made up by entries that are 1, H sub I, J, 1, if page I contains at least one link to page J, and 0 other ones. So we have a matrix H whose elements are 1 or 0. This is a very, very simple example, a web made up of only 4 pages. Its adjacency matrix H is that one. The meaning of all this is that page I transmits its relevance value to the pages it's point to. And all this situation is represented by the matrix H. The relevance inherited from page I has to be uniformly distributed over all the pages linked by page I. This was J and this is I. They look like. So the role. The corresponding row of the matrix H has to be normalized by dividing all the entries that are on that row by R sub J, which is the sum of all the ones that are on death row. Next slide will explain better this fact. We normalize all the roles or the world matrix H in that way. The first row is divided by 3. Why 3? Because on the first row there were 3 ones. And so the second row, the third row contained only one entry, one vowel, so it looks like before. The matrix we obtain at this point has the property, the important property, that the sum over all rows is 1. The effect of normalizing is that if we sum values over all rows, we, for any row, obtain 1. A matrix which has this property is called row stochastic. Why this property is important? Because it has a consequence regarding the eigenvalues. It is very simple to see that a matrix with this property has as eigenvalue 1. It will have also other eigenvalues, but the important property is that the spectrum of the normalized matrix contains 1. And this will be important for the for next. Next slide. The formula in red is the crucial formula for the model. Page J, X sub J, has the relevance that is expressed by the left hand side of the formula. That is, the relevances of all the other pages weighted by the elements of the normalized matrix. The model, in its simplest form, is simply that. So the idea of page rank is very, very, very simple. This is a linear system. As I told you before, most of the problem are addressed to the resolution of linear system. Linear system which can be written in a more compact form in this way. Vector transposed equal to vector transposed matrices D and H. D is the diagonal matrix containing the various values of R sub I reversed. That's this. This is a linear system of equations. Has it solution? Here we have to do several considerations. We have gone back. Several considerations. The system is written again in this way, but it is always the same system. The first consideration is that the matrix of the coefficients, the system written this way, shows us the matrix of coefficients, that is H transposed by D minus the identity matrix. It's an homogeneous system. It has solution different from zero if and only if the matrix is, the coefficient matrix is singular. In effect, indeed, this matrix is singular. Because? Why? Because this matrix has eigenvalue 1.
So the coefficient matrix has eigenvalue 1 minus 1, this is identity, so it has eigenvalue 0, so it is singular. And this means that this system has a finite solution. It can be shown also that the solution, which can also be same as eigenvectors of the matrix, this matrix, there exists a solution non-negative. We consider the negative solutions. With a normalizing condition, that's this condition, in the case that the space of solution has dimension 1, the solution which fulfills this condition is unique. This solution, normalized, is the solution of our problem. The vector x contains the pages in order of relevance. So, there are several ways to improve this mathematical model, which, as I told you before, is very, very simple. One can see the entries of the matrix D by H as probability values. We have a normalized that, so they are values between 0 and 1. So the generic entry can be seen as the probability that the surfer jumps from one page to another. Another realistic operation of the model is done in order to allow that the surfer can jump from the generic page to another page that is not linked but the page. This fact occurs often. In the model, it is represented by modifying the matrix. The new matrix is the matrix G, obtained by the previous matrix, which was D by H, with a coefficient, the multiplicative coefficient C, and one correction in which is used a matrix E formed by all entries equal to 1. There are possible also other improvements. This is the previous. In the example of the web format by only 4 pages shown before, the matrix G looks like this, where the value C, which is used most frequently, it is given the value of 0.85. The new matrix G is again row stochastic, as a property which is called irreducibility, and which we will study next Friday, as again eigenvalue 1 with multiplicity 1, and the corresponding eigenvector normalized as positive elements. Other improvements are concerned with personalization issues.
this is again the linear systems, the new linear system. This is the matrix G, the new matrix G with its numerical values. To conclude, the problem now is to compute the eigenvalues of G, but we know in advance that we are interested with one particular eigenvalue of G, the eigenvalue that is 1. We are interested more in the corresponding eigenvector, because the eigenvector that gives the order, gives us the order of relevance of the pages of the web. These are the iteration of a classical method to compute the eigenvalues and the eigenvector. These are the eigenvectors of G, G transpose. Really, this is one eigenvector of that matrix, the so-called leading eigenvector. This is the eigenvector corresponding to the eigenvalue 1. The last column contains the best approximation of the eigenvector and gives us the order, the relevance order, that is the page rank that we were searching. So says to us that the most relevant page is the last. Why? Because it is the larger value, the fourth page. The second and third page correspond to the same value. The less relevant page is the first. And you see that the first value is the minimum of the vector. Okay? I think I have finished. It is the next application.
Yeah.
Okay.
So very shortly, another application of optimization problems comes from physics, and here you have a function of one variable, which is called Lerner-Jones potential, and given two atoms, it gives you the potential energy in this system of two atoms only, when the two atoms are at distance r. So, gives the potential energy between two atoms in function of the distance. This structure works particularly well for noble gases. I'm not a physicist, but all these terms have a particular meaning in physics, are related to the orbits of electrons, so to van der Waals force and so on, but none of our business, okay? We have this function, which gives this model. We rely on physicists for that. They say it's good. And you see it depends on two parameters, epsilon and sigma. Here you can see this function of one, the graph of this function with this choice of parameters, both equal to 1. To 0 it goes, when you go towards 0 it goes to plus infinity, then it goes here in the sink, and then it gets up in this way to some stable value as a function of the distance. What is the problem physicists have? They know that generally molecules try to be in a position of minimal energy. Okay, so consider a molecule with n atoms. Okay, each of them as a position in the space, which is given by its free coordinates, so a vector inner free, okay? And then you can consider
the distance between each pair of atoms in the molecule. Okay?
The total potential energy is the sum of the energies of all the pairs. Okay? So here, what you are doing with that formula, you are just summing up for each pair of atoms the Lennard-Jones potential. Okay? So REJ denotes the distance between atom I and atom J. So if you want to find which is the configuration which the molecule is likely to assume, you have to solve this optimization problem. Minimize this function of the position, this function of the positions of the n atoms in the space, which give you the total potential energy, while each molecule is free to move in the space. Okay? So this is an optimization problem based on this function. Okay? The expression is that one, and you have your variables are here. So you have n atoms, you have three n variables. You have to choose the values which will give you the positions in the space, and trying to minimize this function, so the potential energy. So the application is simply this. The optimization problem is this one. Why I'm giving you it? I'm not a physicist. I don't deal with these problems. It's a bad problem. As we will see, optimization problems divide essentially in two classes. Okay, let's say the good problems and the bad problems. Okay. The notion which I will introduce in a few weeks is called convexity. If the problem is convex, you are fine. If the problem is not convex, you are getting into troubles and you need very sophisticated tools to try to solve them. Indeed, in the course, we will focus mainly on the convex case. I mean, the tools that we will develop will work in any case, but they will give the result, the real minimum value, only in the good cases, in the convex case. So I gave you that because this function with these things is bad, and we are combining it in this model for every pair of atoms in a molecule. Okay. So these are tough problems that experts study, people who have huge expertise. Both in physics and optimization. Both are required to deal with these problems. At least in research, some people must have the physics background and the other must have the optimization background. And to end it, I'm simply showing you some configuration for some particular gases for some number of atoms. Okay, so these are minimal energy configurations that have been computed. Tough work to compute them, and these come from a collaboration of people from Cambridge and Oxford. Okay, chemistrians with a good optimization expertise who exploit sophisticated tools. I think we can stop here. I guess you had another one. But
I had another example, but I think...
That was about? So just to tell... No, tell the name of the example.
The first example I would like to show you, but there is no time, is concerned with the reconstruction of clinical images. What does this mean? Clinical images are the images obtained by technological devices used in diagnostics, such as TAC, CT in English, computed axial tomography, PET, NMR, nuclear magnetic resonance, and so on. All these kinds of diagnostic procedure have as a common feature the reconstruction of a two or three dimensional image from some data. In the case of CT, the data are the values of radiation detected by a suitable detector, the radiation that are not absorbed by the body. Yeah. In all these kinds of problems, the numerical approach leads to the solution, again, to the solution of a very, very big linear system. The coefficient matrix of this linear system has very characteristic properties that allow to solve the system using fast method. One of the most important fast methods to solve a structured linear system is the DFT, or FFT, fast Fourier transform, or discrete Fourier transform, which allow to reach a complexity, computational complexity of n by log n instead of n squared. This is a big advantage. It is the reason that the discovery, I can say, of DFT is the main reason that allowed a few decades ago to implement and to use these important diagnostic tools that have changed our lives. Okay. As I told before, even if it's not reported on the syllabus, the DFT is one of the last topics we will face at the end of the
When we originally, at the idea of the course, we forgot about it, and then Professor Bevilacqua, this is very relevant, in particular to computer scientists. So, today was just give you information on the course and an overview of a few of the many applications. From Friday we will start the actual course, and Professor Bevilacqua will give you a set of lectures on the needed background from linear algebra.